Radio Fly.
Welcome to a new episode of Absolutely Terrible.
Where season two.
Yeah, season two.
A season brand nobody, new season. Nobody asked for.
Yeah.
But just we asked for the season no one asked for. Okay.
So this is the podcast where we run through the plots of the newest terrible movie we've seen, and we rip it to shreds. My name is Corin.
My name is Pratik.
And today we're going to talk about Pretty Little Stalker, which was released in 2018.
Sorry, what?
Pretty Little Stalker.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing they were trying to profit off of Pretty Little Liars or something like that.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, so it stars Nikki
Welland. Just the premise? Just the premise itself is like, if a pretty girl is talking, you'll be like, this is great.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
All the, because there's something interesting there. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It stars Nikki Welland, Ashley Rickards, and Jesse Hutch. And it's about a self-help writer and her family who become targeted by a crazy woman.
Okay, well, she should have written better books.
Yeah, absolutely. Her book was so bad.
This woman had a perfect life, you know, beautiful family, and then she bought the book and read it, and then everything turned to shit.
Yeah.
Why would she not be in a murderous rage?
Who could blame her?
Yeah.
So it has a 3.5 rating on IMDb.
Okay.
It only has one review on Rotten Tomatoes. And unsurprisingly, it's negative.
Okay.
So, in my view, Pretty Little Stalker is either a terrible thriller or an above-average comedy. And okay. It's a movie that really threw me off because the kids look old and the parents look young.
Oh, shit, we've cast it already. Can we change the casting?
Yeah.
No, we cannot, Roger. We cannot.
Yeah, all that matters is that we cast everyone in their 20s or 30s. That's
can
all
we can we get the son to play the dad? No, the contracts are signed, Roger.
We need a hunk to play the dad. That's all we need.
Are you a Mexican or a Mexican?
I killed two people!
I am an FBI agent!
My husband, he's having an affair with your wife.
Oh my God!
The movie begins with a woman standing in her bedroom, reading a passage from a self-help book out loud.
Okay.
Because, of course, that's what most normal people do when they're alone. They read passages from self-help books out loud. So, the passage...
Was she also drinking wine?
I didn't see, but it may have been right before, because it just starts when she's reading it. So... Okay. The passage is about moving on and mentions that she must, quote, burn the connection.
Oh, sorry, the book is called The Passage?
No, it's not. It's just a passage in the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she takes her...
That would have been a great name for her.
I know, it would have
been
perfect.
For a self-help book, though.
I actually didn't pay close enough attention to the title of the book.
Okay.
So... Of course, this woman takes it literally, and so she takes her wedding dress out of the closet and lights a lighter. Before she can do this, she is interrupted by her husband, who barges into the room. And she tells him that she wants a divorce.
Okay.
Now, he's not a fan of this request.
So does he not see her burning the dress?
No, she's not wearing it. She just has it out on the bed.
Oh, okay.
So, unsurprisingly, he's not a fan of this request, and he proceeds to get his gun and points it at her.
Wow. This is a family of overreactors.
Yeah, I know. I guess we can see why she wants a divorce. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he does this for every argument. He just brings his gun out so that he can win.
She's into arson and he's into murder.
Yeah, why not?
Match made in heaven.
So, rather than try to get away or do something productive, she just stands there and yells, "No!" Now, unsurprisingly, this tactic doesn't work. And the husband shoots both her and himself.
Oh, she should have yelled, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Only her and the guy would have lived.
Yeah, exactly. But no,
she picked the wrong answer.
Tragedy. So the scene ends with a close-up of the back of the self-help book. The woman was reading, and it shows a picture of the author named Lorna.
Okay.
Okay, so Lorna is going to be our protagonist.
Okay.
So we cut to Lorna giving a talk at a book signing, and now...
Buy my book!
Yeah, exactly.
Please buy my book, I'm begging
money. Please, I'm begging you. So back at their home, we're introduced to Lorna's son, Mark, and his girlfriend, Bridget. And they are playing the romantic hand-slapping game, Red Hands.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, it's where two people put their hands on top of the other, and then the one whose hand's at the bottom has to slap the one at the top before they can pull their hands away.
Okay. Well, we used to have that back in India under some different name.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I get the idea.
They just slap each other's hands. And evidently...
Round two, faces.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is a weird couple.
Mm-hmm.
But after this, the family gets ready to go to celebrate her book's success at a restaurant. And Lorna decides to give Mark tickets for the U.S. Open ahead of his birthday. Because Mark doesn't have many personality traits, but tennis is one of them.
Uh-huh.
It itself is a personality trait for this guy.
So, I am become tennis.
I just tennis.
Okay.
So at the restaurant, Lorna feels the need to go.
Imagine what they like in the production meeting. And so what does the dad do? He has a tennis thing going on. This is the son.
Oh,
the son. Okay.
Yeah. But the dad has even fewer personality traits. Actually, in fact, he's the stepfather. I'll put that up.
That's a ready-made character.
Yeah.
You don't even have to think about it.
He's
the stepfather. I get the whole thing.
Yeah. Just stepfather. Mm-hmm. That's who he is.
Okay.
So at the restaurant, Lorna decides to go to the bathroom where she meets a crying woman. Now, Lorna comforts the woman, quotes the Dalai Lama, and tells her it's going to be okay.
And then shills her book.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my book. That'll be $20.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman says, I'm all better now. And she leaves. But as Lorna goes to leave, she notices her phone is missing. We cut to the middle of the night, where Lorna's sleeping beside her husband, Harry.
Okay.
And she sees a drone outside her window.
Okay.
And
FBI, open up!
Yeah, there's some big investigation. It's like some conspiracy theory in her book. Mm-hmm. So, Harry, rather than...
Are you hiding aliens at Area 51?
So...
That's our job.
Yeah. Okay. And so he goes out there and he finds the drone on the ground. Mm-hmm. And he just bends down and stares at it instead of doing anything.
Right.
He doesn't pick it up. He doesn't...
Just using the modem number?
He just stares at it.
I'm made in Taiwan. Yeah, I have one of those.
So anyway, the point of this is that so that he can just stand there long enough to get hit on the back by a hooded figure with a crowbar, which knocks him out.
Okay.
Now note I said he gets hit on the back with a crowbar, which knocks him out.
Uh-huh.
I think it was supposed to look like he got hit in the head, but it wasn't even close. So anyway, he
knocks him out / gets cerebrally damaged.
Yeah.
So the next one is soup coming out of his mouth.
So he winds up waking up, I think, the next morning.
Uh-huh.
And Lorna is there, and he says, "Well, I got a headache." And then she says, "Well, no shit." But other than that, he's good. Apparently, he's ready to go, and they're ready for their 4th of July barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're hosting a party in their backyard the day after someone in a hood came and assaulted one of them with a crowbar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But okay, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
So, during the party, Mark the son goes to take the trash to the front yard. He notices a woman biking by in slow motion.
Okay. Now,
this is the same woman that Lorna comforted earlier.
Okay.
And her name is Mallory.
Okay.
So
and she's the pretty little stalker.
Yes, she's the pretty little stalker.
Is she pretty?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So she randomly falls off the bike, and Mark goes to help
her. Because if she isn't pretty, we can sue the producers.
Yeah, I know. False advertising.
False advertising, yeah.
And I don't know, is she that little? I was expecting someone really short.
Yeah. Where's our cute midget?
So anyway, she randomly falls off the bike for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And Mark goes to help her. And for some reason, he invites her to the party in the backyard.
And a crowbar?
Yeah.
There you go. Nice crowbar.
Yeah. Oh, what a coincidence. My stepfather just got hit by a crowbar.
Yeah, they're really in these days.
Yeah, everybody has them. So he takes her to the back and introduces Mallory to everyone. And then Lorna remembers her. And Mallory replies by saying, "Hey, oh, oops, I accidentally took your phone the other day," and gives it back to her.
Meanwhile, so she says, "I sorry, I brought it back?"
Yeah, she gives her phone back. And and Lorna's like, "Oh, thank you so much.
I'm just a casual crypto."
Yeah, it's like she isn't suspicious at all.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea what the point of Mallory stealing the phone was. We don't even see her plans or anything.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just stole the phone. I just wanted to. And so this is the point where I feel it's appropriate to mention that Mallory is supposed to be the same age as Mark. So Mark is supposed to be 18-ish.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And she certainly looks older than that. She looks like she's in her 30s.
Okay.
Like the same age as the mother.
Right.
And apparently the actress was in her mid-20s, but she looks older than that.
Okay. And, she would love to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we should send it to her. Hey, you know, you look much older than you are. Oh, thanks.
I do it
for the character.
It's just weird because, like, you can, I mean, some mm-hmm. people in their 20s look older and some people look younger.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you can hire someone who looks younger. And even the guy who plays Mark looks older than 18.
Maybe it was like the hair and makeup thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to make her look younger and making her look much older.
Yeah, and going full circle.
And
back to older. It's like a Chris Nolan movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it feels like the either the writer or director, someone thought that she looked older because they keep making references to her like being older. They even like at one point she makes a reference to John Wayne movies, and people ask her, "Oh, how do you know about those?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
what is she then?
Yeah,
she's supposed to be 25. She looks 35, and she was born in 1807.
And they make reference to Cheers being her favorite sitcom and how she's seen every episode. And it's like, oh, can you not try to make her seem younger?
Were they by any chance pushing the Criterion channel in the movie?
Maybe. I didn't watch this on the Criterion channel, but maybe there's some link there.
Because I got rid of everything and got the Criterion channel.
Yeah.
And I just watch old black and white movies now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I should get the Criterion channel.
All that rear projection scenes. I love those.
Yes.
Like they were putting real effort back then.
Yeah.
And so just, we'll do a green screen later. That's kind of, I mean, a lot of the effort that was put into movies back then is just gone.
Yeah. Yeah, now you get Pretty Little Stalker. Yeah. Which was made in 1 week. So, anyway, throughout the party, Bridget becomes jealous of Mallory and how close she's getting to Mark, and she gives her the stink eye. Okay. Oh, did I mention that Bridget is the girlfriend?
And all her iPads, Macs, laptops are missing.
Yeah, yeah, everything. She just steals everyone's phone. So we cut to later that night, and there's fireworks going on, and it feels like nobody on screen has seen fireworks before.
Okay.
Because they're all smiling, and they have shocked looks on their faces, and they're pointing at the fireworks.
Yeah, you do that for the first one you see.
Yeah.
Like, when you just suddenly see one, that's when you do it, and then you're like, okay, well, yeah, I know the science behind this.
Yeah, well...
They just light it up and it goes into the sky and this does its thing.
Yeah, well, these people have never either... They're shocked every time. They have short-term memory loss or it's the first time. Because they are just in awe of what they are seeing. So Mallory...
And the director was like, more excitement!
Yeah, more excitement! Point with some excitement there. Point like you mean it.
Give it like you mean it. Open your mouth.
So, anyway, Mallory is just staring angrily at them as they're pointing at the fireworks because I guess she's seen fireworks before and nobody else.
And she hits fun.
So, the next morning, Bridget is running in some parking lot and Mallory is driving up behind.
So, who's Bridget? Oh, the girlfriend.
The girlfriend, yeah. The girlfriend.
Okay.
So she's running in some parking lot.
Sorry, I didn't see the movie, so I just have to create characters in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, as you're telling me the story, I'm watching the movie in my mind.
Yeah, well...
Oh, did you know that some people have this thing called aphantasia?
No.
Aphantasia. It's like A-P-H-A-N-T-A-S-I-A. Aphantasia, I think. That's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
And so it's the inability to form images in your head.
Oh, really?
What kind of boring lives are you guys living?
Yeah, I know. Man, I hope no one like that listens to this podcast or they'll have no idea what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast is like a test for those people because they cannot just picture things.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like listening to audiobooks?
Oh God.
You cannot do that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, who says this podcast is an educational?
So, okay, back to the movie.
So, the morning after the party, Bridget is running in a parking lot.
Okay.
And then Mallory is driving up behind her, and she starts to speed up and tries to run her over.
Okay. But
Bridget turns a corner, so she misses her.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Can you describe it again? So sorry, this is the major.
So again. Bridget is running. I think it's in a parking lot.
Okay.
She has headphones in.
Okay. What color?
I went in
too deep. Okay. Let me zoom out a bit. Okay.
So Mallory's slowly driving up behind her.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden she speeds up and tries to run her over.
Okay.
But Bridget, who doesn't notice the cars behind her, turns a corner, so...
She should have taken off her orange headphones, okay.
Yeah, the orange headphones. Uh-huh. We'll just say orange headphones.
Yeah.
So Bridget turns the corner and the car misses her.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bridget has no idea any of this happened.
Oh, okay.
But a guy named Pierce saw.
Oh, new character.
Okay. Yes, well... Okay, Pierce was... We were briefly introduced to him at the party in the backyard, but I didn't feel like saying... And there's a random guy named Pierce here.
Yeah.
So he is a friend of Harry's.
Okay. So, who's Harry?
Harry is Lorna's husband, the stepfather.
Okay, the husband. Okay. So the crowbar victim.
Yeah, the crowbar victim. Okay. Who is A-OK now.
Yeah.
So,
hey, next time shoot me in the chest. Yeah. That's great for my Wednesdays.
So Pierce gets angry and he yells at Mallory and he says, what were you doing? Blah, blah, blah. So she decides to back her car up all the way and then speeds up to run him over. Okay. Now he has plenty of time to get out of the way. But I don't know, maybe he stepped in glue or something, and he just continues to yell at her as she's moving full speed towards him.
Right.
And then we get some bad CGI of her running him over.
Okay.
So that's the end of Pierce.
And then next thing he was like, okay.
And he's forgotten about for a bit. So Mallory starts spending more time with Mark. Not much interesting happens there.
Okay.
Lorna and Harry have a conversation about him going to India for work because he works for some travel magazine or something. But this is pointless because he doesn't ever wind up leaving, except at one point Harry does a bad Yoda impression.
Okay.
It's like the guy said, oh, I can do Yoda. Can I just put it in there?
Yeah, that was one of his talents. What is that, man? Yoda voice? Horse riding? Yoda voice.
And I guess in this scene, Lorna reveals that she isn't Mallory's biggest fan, so that sort of starts to play into it.
Okay.
But she wants to invite Mallory over for dinner.
Okay.
So we cut to the next night or whatever, and it's a dinner, and they don't really talk about anything.
Mallory is the daughter of the couple in the beginning who died,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Well, we haven't gotten to that, but it's super obvious. So So at this dinner, they don't talk about anything really interesting. They just sort of discuss their favorite sitcoms because we need to know that.
Right.
Harry says that Mark doesn't really watch TV because he spends too much time, quote, surfing the net.
Okay.
And Harry's supposed to be in his 30s, not his 80s. Mm-hmm. Nobody uses surfing the net anymore. And
altavista.com. Go to geocities.com.
So at one point, Lorna brings up the fact that she can't swim because she saw Jaws as a kid and it scared her.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, this is going to figure into the climax. She's going to have to swim. But no, no, it doesn't. And despite having a fear of water, she has a pool in her backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And also we get another joke about Mallory's age here because she mentions that she's more mature than most people her age. And I thought, okay, that's pretty funny.
Right.
So at the end of the night, Mallory starts making out with Mark.
Maybe it was just the crew like having fun that day.
Yeah.
Like, inserting their inside jokes.
Yeah, they said, that, you know what, she doesn't look 18. Yeah. We'll just throw this in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, Mark's girlfriend Bridget comes over.
Okay.
And then she goes into Mark's room. And then 10 seconds later, she walks out crying. So I guess he dumped her in the quickest breakup ever. She just walks in. We're done.
Okay.
She just runs away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lorna is upset since she liked Bridget and does not like Mallory. So she goes and talks to Mark, and she grounds him for a week. No video games for a week. So let's go over this. She decided to ground her almost 18-year-old son for a week where he gets no video games because he dumped his girlfriend.
Everything is broken.
Oh my god.
What a shit show.
Yes.
And you broke she had up the goal to write a self-help book.
Yeah, I know. God, this woman wrote a self-help book. So later that night, Mark is in the backyard being comforted by Mallory. Uh-huh. And they start making out again.
Okay.
And Lorna is looking out the window. And Mallory awkwardly starts waving at her.
Okay.
So after they're making out, Lorna winds up confronting Mark. And he tells her he's taking Mallory to the U.S. Open instead of her, which makes Lorna sad because she wanted to see the tennis.
Well, the tennis, it's the tennis. Okay.
So, yeah, and then so Lorna is afraid that Mark's becoming too obsessed with Mallory.
And tennis.
Yeah, and tennis. Well, tennis is okay because that's his personality trait. Uh-huh. Yeah. So now we're introduced to a random couple in their home.
Playing tennis?
They are not, unfortunately, they're not playing tennis.
Okay. Now, you know what? This tennis thing is contagious and I cannot stop thinking about tennis now.
Well, it comes up again, so okay, don't worry.
Okay, good.
And now we're introduced to a random couple in their home.
Okay.
Now the woman looks out the window and she sees a drone.
Right.
She tells her husband, but they both pretty much shrug it off and go to bed.
And then she was just outside the crowbar.
Yeah.
Well, damn it!
Just... let that be a lesson. If you see a drone, a crowbar is coming. A crowbar is coming.
That's a code that would be attributed to you from in the late 3000.
Yeah.
But the great Corin once said.
Yeah, yeah.
If you see a drone, a crowbar is coming for you.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And by the way, I must mention that these two, despite being a horribly acted film, these two are the worst.
Right.
They make the others look like Oscar contenders.
Right.
And
like minimum wage actors.
Yeah. It's like they just picked two people and said,
yeah,
you want to be in the movie? And they said, sure. It's one scene. Yeah.
And you get a burger. Well, that's how I used to shoot my stuff.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't shoot a feature film with that.
Here's some food.
Yeah.
So... in the middle of the night, the woman is awakened by Mallory, who starts strangling her and says, "This is my house," repeatedly. And so she strangles her to death. Meanwhile, the husband, who is sleeping right beside her, hears none of this.
But this came out of nowhere?
What? Yeah, Mallory just came out of nowhere. Like, or the couple.
The killings.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just two random people who Mallory starts killing. Now I'll explain why in a sec. But so the man can't hear. Well,
until now it was just harmless crowbar to the head or, you know, just running someone over. But this is too much.
I know. And so Mallory's strangling this woman. And
you know what? Saying, those two things are sort of funny.
Yeah.
You know, that's why.
Yeah, I know.
Like it's like when you see someone fall on the street, you laugh.
Yeah.
So that's sad, but this is too much.
Yeah, I know. This is just too bad.
This movie just became very serious.
Yeah, so the woman dies after Mallory strangles her and says, "This is my house," repeatedly, and the husband is sleeping right beside and hears none of this.
Oh, he's a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. But
or maybe he has those things in his ears, you know, because his wife is a loud snorer.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it. But no, they weren't clever enough to think of that.
Okay.
Because he just wakes up 30 seconds later, and then Mallory shoots him dead. Okay. So when there's actual noise going on, he's sleeping. When it gets quiet, he wakes up, and then he gets killed by Mallory.
Where is the sound of choking I hear every night?
Mm. Yeah. The wife chokes herself every night and he's just like, oh. Yeah. It's like white noise. It doesn't... I should mention that the reason Mallory killed this random couple is because they were in her house from the beginning.
Okay.
So the house where the parents, where the father killed the wife and then himself.
Right. Does she not understand the concept of property transfer?
Yeah, I guess not. Does she not figure out that this might go wrong?
Mm.
So anyway, next day, Lorna meets with her new manager and tells her about her new books, and the manager loves the idea. So, blah, blah, blah. She walks to the parking lot where she notices that there's a ripped copy of her book on the windshield with the word bitch on the picture.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's that scene.
Okay.
In the next scene, Mark is... What is Mark going to be doing in this scene?
Playing tennis?
Yes, he's playing an important tennis match.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny because it looks like he's constantly hitting the ball out of bounds.
Maybe they're going to come up with a spinoff.
Yeah,
about his tennis life. Yeah. Mark's tennis life. That'd be the name of the movie. Why not, man? We can have Pretty Little Scott. You can have any name then at this point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Nothing has to have a meaning. Just
words.
Why not? Yeah.
It's just Mark playing tennis.
Yeah.
So it's funny because Mark looks like he's constantly hitting the ball out of bounds. Now maybe it's just the camera angle. Yeah. But at one point, we clearly saw the ball go out of bounds.
Him flailing his arms and nailing every point.
Yeah, I know.
This is jarring.
Yeah, okay.
Where's the script supervisor? Okay.
And so could they not have done any retakes? Just show him hitting the ball inbounds?
Yeah, yeah. This would have to have passed so many layers.
Yeah, I know.
From production to like multiple stages in post. The editor's like, huh? Are they paying me?
Maybe
not my problem.
Maybe this guy was just really bad at tennis and they said that was the best take.
Yeah.
So I guess he wins the match and Mallory blows him the lamest kiss.
Okay.
I don't know if she's ever blown a kiss before, but that's not really how you do it.
You just kiss a crowbar.
A crowbar.
I just ruined my joke by mumbling.
So after the game, all of Mark's friends and family goes to congratulate Mark, but Mallory walks away in a huff.
Sorry, just to go back, my joke was you kiss a crowbar and throw it.
Yeah, throw it. No.
I just wanted to clarify, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Too bad, that could have worked.
So
Mark asks Mallory, oh, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And she says, oh, your friends and family don't like me, and you have to choose between either me or them.
Okay.
Okay. We don't really see him choose right away.
Tennis.
Yeah, I choose tennis.
Hey, fuck y'all. I'm going to play. Goodbye.
My true love is tennis.
Mm. Okay.
So we cut to later that night where Mallory and Mark are in the backyard of his parents' house, and they decide to play a strip drinking game.
Okay.
Because, of course, you want to play a strip drinking game in your parents' backyard.
Yeah.
That's the
perfect location.
Yeah, exactly. How romantic. So this whole scene is a mess because we see Lorna watching them from the window. And we see her, see Mallory tell Mark to take off his pants because socks and shoes don't count.
Okay.
And then
just making her own rules.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay. But then we cut to the very next shot, which is closer up, and we see her say the exact same thing again.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this time the editor was like, you know what? I give up.
Yeah,
I give
you
up.
Know what?
This is garbage. I give up. And then the director was like, you know, my wife's cousin has this kid. He's really good. He's really good. We should bring him in.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just put him in there. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they said the same thing twice. That's okay. Nobody else will notice.
Yeah.
Notice.
Yeah, I'll buy you a new Mac. Just keep editing.
You know what? If people watch a movie called Pretty Little Stalker, this is what they deserve. So, unsurprisingly, Lorna sees this goes down and tells them to
stop. Does this show count as self-harm for you?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I actually looked at, because on Netflix they have the rating, and it said it was 14 plus for, quote, fear. Now, you'd think that fear would mean the movie is scary, but no, the fear is that you actually have to watch this movie.
And the hatred for mankind?
Yeah. Yeah, the fear is for knowing that someone actually made this and this actually got a budget.
Well,
yeah.
If we get a sponsor, we'll get you therapy, man.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I need. So after Lorna tells them to stop, Mark storms off, and then Mallory starts threatening Lorna, and Lorna keeps backing up and almost falls backwards into the pool, but then she doesn't.
Right.
So this is the closest we get to that, oh, I don't swim comment from earlier.
Yeah, they didn't even attempt to see.
So Mark winds up getting grounded for a week again. And Lorna tells him that he's not allowed to invite Mallory to his 18th birthday party. So Mark tells Lorna he's moving out and is going to live with his real father. So he leaves.
Wait, what? Oh, okay, yeah.
His real father.
The other guy's a stepfather, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So later that night, Lorna is sleeping and has a dream of Mallory strangling her. I don't know, kind of pointless. Meanwhile,
how does Lorna know that strangling is her weapon of choice?
It's just implicit. She just has that feeling, you know.
She's got those eyes.
Yeah, she's got strangly eyes, man. Yeah, okay. She just looks like a strangler.
Yeah, okay.
So, meanwhile, Mark's dad says he can't stay here. He talks to Mallory, and she says, we can stay in my place. So they drive over to her house. Mark decides, when they go inside, Mark decides to go to the master bedroom. And in there, he finds the dead couple from earlier.
Right.
So what happens here?
And she's like, oops.
Yeah, oops. Well, Mallory decides to get her handy-dandy crowbar and knocks him out by whacking him in the back. So Lorna goes to a meeting with some executives or people the next day to talk about her new book, but she opens her laptop and everything's gone. I'm guessing this is supposed to be Mallory went into the house and deleted all her files. So she winds up going to her car again. But she's interrupted by Mallory, who shows up with restraining orders that looked like they were typed up on Microsoft Word.
Right.
They realized that morning, oh God, we didn't make the restraining orders, and so just type them up in front of them.
Arial 12.
Yeah. Times New Roman font.
So
those two go at it for a bit, and then after that, Lorna goes back home and suddenly remembers Mallory's full name and who she is. So it is flashback time. And in case it wasn't super obvious by now, Mallory is, shocker, the daughter of the couple from the beginning. And she found her.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? What
you don't
a twist.
Say. Huh. Well, who would have seen that coming?
I know. It's shocking.
Yeah.
So
I have goosebumps.
Yeah, I know. Man, move over, Usual Suspects. This is the top twist. Now Mark wakes up tied to a chair.
Okay.
And Mallory is in her mother's wedding dress from the beginning and is holding a gun.
Okay. And is that bloodied, the dress?
No.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the good thing about the dad shooting the mother right beside the gun, or right beside
that
the dress,
would have been a great visual. You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like a bloody wedding dress.
That could have been amazing.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay.
And it would make sense actually, because that was a big gun he used to shoot her. It was like a shotgun.
I keep I have to make my movie verse, the one in my head.
Yeah.
Because I saw her in a bloody dress because I'm a creative genius.
Okay, you know what? She's in a bloody dress. There you go. She's in a bloody dress.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's holding a gun and talking to Mark. And meanwhile, in the background, Lorna sneaks up behind her. And instead of Lorna doing anything like arming herself, attacking Mallory, or calling the police, she just decides to tell Mallory to put the gun down.
She did appears?
Yeah. And then Mallory just says, okay, I'll put the gun down, sorry. And then she walks away. No. Mm-hmm. Mallory says no and decides to point the gun at Mark. And then here is where she delivers my favorite line of the movie. She says, your mommy's book made my mommy want to leave my daddy and me. What? we have a woman who looks like she's in her 30s saying that. That's like a 4-year-old's comment.
Oh, God. This movie just collapsed.
Yeah, I know.
It was so bad. The spirit of the film was like,
yeah, everyone gave up at some point.
Why did you give birth to me? What am I?
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
You know, I could be
why did
doing
you create
anything?
Me?
Yeah.
Why did you bring me into the universe? Why did you give me such a stupid name?
Yeah.
Pretty little, whatever, fucking idiot.
So,
okay.
So this is followed by a fight between Lorna and Mallory. Now, you'd think that Mallory would have the upper hand since she has the gun. But she decides to throw it away for some reason. Because I guess she wants a fair fight, you know?
This is the most low-energy gun scene ever.
So when
you take out a gun, it's like a very heightened visual.
Yeah.
And then people are just having random conversation. The guy is, you know, drinking lemonade on the side. Like, anyone want nuts?
Yeah.
What is happening? Just stop conversing.
Hey, this is a legit fight going on. They are, I don't know,
rolling around. Their gun's drawn, man.
So the gun goes.
Do you know how intense would it be if you just see a gun in real life all of a sudden?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know how intense that would be?
But no.
So, what did you do on the weekend?
It may as well be a water gun. So, anyway, they struggle. And then Lorna winds up reaching under the bed and grabbing the gun. And she shoots Mallory in the stomach.
Oh, finally!
Yeah.
Some action! Come on!
Something happened.
So
Mallory falls to the floor. Lorna, of course, turns her back to Mallory and goes to untie Mark.
Okay.
But Mallory gets up, and before
she gets up?
Yeah. She gets up, ready to attack Lorna.
Doesn't she have a bullet wound?
Yeah.
She gets up!
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just a flesh wound. She's all good to go.
Just put a flesh wound. Okay.
But before Mallory can do anything, Harry comes out of nowhere.
Right.
And if I recall, he has the crowbar and he whacks her in the back, knocking her out.
Okay.
Hey, we can't get out of this scenario, so he's just going to randomly save
he's
the day.
He's going to Arya Stark it.
Yeah. So anyway, so the day has been saved. Mallory gets taken out on a stretcher.
Okay.
And then we cut to 6 months
later. Where was she hit?
In the she was shot in the stomach and she was hit in the back. Yeah, I know.
She was shot in the stomach and she got up and then she's still alive?
Well, in movies, unless you're shot in the head, you're okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So we
cut. Yeah, that's the movie law.
Yeah. It's the movie law. So we cut to 6 months later, and Lorna's new book has been published.
Wow, she's very prolific.
Yeah, I know.
She's just pumping those babies out.
I wonder if she wrote about the stalker.
6 months. The new book is out. Wasn't she just proposing the idea to her manager?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you should all learn from her, you know.
Yeah.
All writers should learn from her.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could write like that. Just Bam, bam,
he's
bam.
He's a machine. Wow. Okay.
So now Bridget is back with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Despite him being a terrible boyfriend who dumped her for a woman he just met, uh-huh. We're supposed to be glad that they're back together.
When he rejected her, he became more attractive.
Yeah, yeah. Man, dump me again.
Yeah.
And then Lorna and Harry high-five each other. Yay! And that's the end of Pretty Little Stalker.
Oh, God.
Pretty shitty movie.
You know what? This was absolutely terrible.
Yes. A new edition. A new, wonderful, absolutely terrible movie.
Welcome to season 2, bitches!
Yeah, off to a promising start. So, thank you for listening and stay tuned for a new episode.
See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.